Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, BPW, share number 120. That's Bais Panimi for Women, share number 120. We were talking about the post-rapture stage, post-infatuation. She brings a couple, Shana and Mac is the names here, that they could have let a beautiful relationship slip away had they not understood the nature of this post-rapture state of love. I'm going to tell you again, especially young couples, or those of you listening that are married for a long while, where you felt, oh, in the early years it was so much better, and then something happened, quote unquote. If you would understand really the nature of this something happening, you wouldn't have turned in that direction, and you would have made the right choices and turned towards each other. And this is why I say again and again, and I say it myself, not knowing what I was getting into 15 years ago when I started exploring these things, and certainly the last few years, where just simple information and skills and wisdom that you glean from good sources can save so much agmas nefesh. And that's one of the purposes of the shiurim. So the two, this couple had met through a mutual friends. They were in their late 20s. Each one was starting to get established. Neither one had much money. So even though their love was strong and there was a great attraction between this couple, they knew that marriage was out of the question. For some time, again, you're dealing with it's a secular couple, obviously. The Yiddish Ashkaf is very different. You don't have much money. You just go into marriage. Hashem opens up that Eitzer Bracha. The Bracha comes from the Isha and from the Shalom, from the marriage. And so we have a different Hashkafa, but that was their idea. And of course, before they married, they had this relationship. Not recommended, again, it's not healthy, but just telling you, based on this story, they had long nights, long conversations, great sex, high energy. Sometimes the demands of work had to be met, purposeful obligations and responsibility. Now, their limited budget restricted their activities. And they knew if they were going to be able to afford to be together, each one has to give a lot of attention to their job to enhance and make more money. But what happened was, again, the initial high wore off, and they were faced with the reality of what we talked about in the last year, the reality of the post-rapture stage. Shana, the woman, was disappointed. The euphoria wore off. She began to question their relationship. She began to fantasize about former boyfriends, wondering if leaving Mac was a good decision. And Mac assured her, and she made an adjustment to this post-rapture, and 3 years later, their finances enabled them to have to wed, and they came, and they were not in the infatuated state when they were together. It was true love. But that post-rapture stage brought a serious challenge to their relationship. And when Shana was about to lose heart, Mac came and supported her and explained it to her, and they navigated through it, and they weathered many of those low periods in their marriage. And each challenge deepened their love. So remember that. These are challenges that will ultimately bring you closer. So if you think you hit a wall, one anecdote is to look back. You know, Zachart Alecha Chesed Nurayach, looking back at the time when you were Kala Chasen, looking back at the infatuation stage. Remember it, pay attention to it, work on starting to please each other. You visualize what the loving feeling, try to get it back. You want to be romantic, start acting romantically. Try that experiment, start flirting, start being more attentive. You know, in the beginning it's sort of not natural because you were so, you know, pulled away from it for a long time. And that's a good idea also. Another challenge is the waning sexual interest. And what happens is, in the beginning of a relationship, is the biggest sexual urge in those first few months of intimacy. Even someone that technically would normally have a low libido, sometimes in the first few months, they are really into it. And their sex drive goes on high gear. But after a while, it will go back to the normal stage, or your previous level of sexual interest. And what does that mean? You will get to your back to your normal sexual drive, which for some people means they want sex a lot. For others, it means they don't want sex much at all. So it's either high or low. But it's natural, whether the high or whether the low is natural. Scientists have known for decades that the male sex drive is correlated to testosterone, with hormones produced in their testes and in their adrenals. And testosterone has been conclusively shown to highly correlate with the male libido, which you need to know, by the way, this is what we've emphasized all along, that the fact that you have a high testosterone level and sexual interest does not mean you're in a higher madrega and you're a bigger tzaddik than someone who has a lower testosterone level and is less interested in, for example, having that type of looking at women. Okay? The Torah says what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, and what you're not allowed to do. So we know that. But the fact that someone has a bigger struggle with it does not necessarily mean they're a lower person. It just means that b'teva, they are more testosterone prone, and they have to work towards their teva and work with it. So this is a big mistake people make, thinking that if you have these big nisayonis in these areas, that means you're a low person, or that a person that's separated from this, all of a sudden they're a high person, when a lot of times it's simply teva, as it's brought down in the Hilchos Deos of the Rambam. So while testosterone has been conclusively shown to correlate high with the connected to the male libido, it was dismissed as a sex drive for women. But in the early 1990s, there was research done where women received testosterone treatment, a certain degree of it, and there was an upsurge in their sexual arousal and the desire for it, and more frequent intercourse and more high rates of orgasm. And subsequent research on it, women with high baselines of testosterone were tended to be more sexually interested and more responsive than lower ones. So whatever, there's research regarding this type of thing. Now, during infatuation, there is an anomaly here where basically even people that had low sex drives, because of the help of dopamines and other chemicals in the brain in that beginning of that relationship, they develop that sort of love cocktail that even that lower testosterone-driven person, a lower-drive person, will act like a highly active, very interested in sex type of person for those few months. Even an individual who ordinarily would have little interest in sex, who would not be easily aroused, normally does not think about sex at all of a sudden will experience the opposite. And it becomes really strong. Like, and then they say to themselves, wow, you know, now someone really turned me on. This is great, you know. I finally met someone that I, you know, and I have a husband and I'm enjoying it so much. I never thought I would have that sexual intensity. But it has a time limit. And it's wishful thinking to think that it stays forever and you go back to your normal state. And the low libido one turns to have little or no interest in it again. And the high one stays interested afterwards. It may have been even higher while the infatuation stage was there, and now it's back to their normal, but their normal is pretty high. And then you go back to that stage where one of them has a high drive, the other one has a low drive. And they need to work with each other about it. We have other shiurim discussing it. But what's interesting here is the high drive person will feel hurt and betrayed or tricked or even cheated. I married somebody who for the first few months was really into me, was really, you know, thrilled with all of this. And after a few months, all of a sudden shut down. And they feel very, very hurt. And they don't understand the science of it. And their natural biology of it is that they by nature had a lower drive and they needed to work on it. But they felt they were betrayed. You tricked me, you know, faking that you were into it. But in reality, it's just that the lower drive person needs to acclimate and work towards enjoying a healthy intimacy. And again, that's a separate shiurim that we had on that area of how to handle that. And that feeling of blame, the unfortunate part of it, the feeling of disappointment, rather, will lead to blame, unfortunately, and accusations. You know, you got the energy now for everything else, but you don't have energy for me anymore. Now, the lower libido person will be confused about themselves, too. I don't understand it. I had such a strong libido, and I was so into it for a couple of months, Where is it now? What happened? And they may think, if you touch me more, spend time with me more, love me more, talk to me more, I'd be more responsive. And deep down, that lower dry person really feels disappointed. Very often feels very inadequate. And even scared. Like, what happened? I'm not a normal human being. I should have this passion towards my husband or my wife, and it's not there. What's wrong with me? And that's why it's so important, understanding the biological differences, understanding the physical differences of why some would have higher or lower sex drives, and the emotional factors is education and knowledge and skill. And then you could work with each other to find a healthy balance and a healthy medium that will connect the both of you, where it will satisfy both of you. There is always that mid-range place where you both could meet, where you will truly be connected and truly enjoy the sexual intimate experience. But it takes work. But if you're uninformed, or you make wrong assumptions, or if you take it too personally, then things go out of control because there's misunderstanding and hurt feelings, and you drift further apart, and you think the low dry person thinks the high dry person is some type of animal, or what, one track minded animal, which is not true. And the high drive person thinks the dry person is like a robot and a cold, uninterested, flat person with no emotion or no drive or no feelings. Also wrong. They basically misinterpret each other, and they need to work through that. But again, very often, that inflated high, when both the couple had that high sexual energy, they get back to that normal. And they call this sexual dysfunction, but it's really not sexual dysfunction. It's not a dysfunction at all. It's the norm. It's unfortunate that the desire discrepancy is classified as a sexual dysfunction, whether it's with doctors, whether it's in society. So all of you listening, you need to remember this. The difference in desire between a couple, even if there is a marked difference, is not a sexual dysfunction. It's not, it's a normal challenge in a marriage that needs to be worked through. It's unrealistic, completely unrealistic to expect two people to have the same drive given their biological differences. And we need to understand that the desire discrepancy is mainly biology and genetic makeup. It's not because the high drive person is an animal. It's not because the low drive person has no emotions or a cold piece of, you know, whatever, robot. No, nothing to do with that. It's primarily a biological difference and physiological makeup. Without that knowledge, without that understanding, individuals will get very confused, very angry, very stuck in that post-rapture disappointment. And you need to move beyond that stage. And the next year, we're going to talk about how you can move beyond that stage. But the first step is not to judge each other, to be done like havschus, to understand that in marriage, yes, the high drive person needs to know they're going to have to be more realistic. They could have a vibrant, consistent intimacy in their lives, but they have to acclimate to the personality of the one that is harder to get them to that point and to be encouraging and loving and supportive of them. And the low-level dry person needs to understand the importance of the physical sexual relationship in a marriage and work very, very hard to get to a point where they do that hard work to get to the point where they could indeed enjoy it very much. I will end off this year by one thing we said a long time ago by Mrs. Wiener Davis, who wrote books about these things. And she was addressing in particular the women that had a very low drive. It could go both ways again. And she said the following to these women, and they practiced it and it worked a lot of times. And Mrs. Davis in the Pnimi Women Shiurim talked about it in several of her Shiurim. But the idea being is that it's the low drive is basically not the spontaneous drive, it's a reactive drive. They have it dormant within them, but it doesn't come out automatically. And they have to get to a point where they work on getting themselves relaxed and starting the process of engaging sexually, where they right now don't have that desire. And then as they're interacting, the desire comes. And most women told Mrs. Davis, Mrs. Wiener Davis, I mean, over here, the author of various books. And they all said the same thing afterwards. I took your advice. I tried it. Initially, I wasn't into it. But once I got into it, I really, really enjoyed it. And we really, really had a good time. And we really, really connected. And I really felt a tremendous amount of pleasure, sexual pleasure and satisfaction. But the effort to get there requires more effort. So they don't even try. And they don't even try, they lose out. They lose out for themselves and they lose out in the relationship. So they need to make that effort, which is hard in the beginning, but once they do it, most of the time, they love it and they appreciate it and they know it makes them stronger and deeper and they enjoy their sexuality as well. But it takes effort. And the higher drive needs to also learn how to regulate it, give certain times some space, and so on and so forth. Bracha v'atzlacha.